is One Up Network Radio, and it's Beer 30. That means it's time for the One Up Beers Show. Your host, Garnet Lee, and the rest of the gang's here. Go ahead, fellas, say hey.
This is Luke Smith from One Up News.
You went first.
You paused.
I didn't know he was pointing to.
You're on the left. It's like a board game.
Oh, okay. This is
John. Oh, it is like a board game. It's like Monopoly.
This is John.
This is John.
The sidekick.
And this is
Shane. Dude, the Sidekick 3's coming out. Did you see that?
Really?
Yeah, apparently soon.
We kind of talked over the introductions. It's kind of an integral part of the show.
Shut up.
Right. Bad start.
Shane, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Shane Bettenhausen, the executive editor of Electronic Gaming Monthly, and I'm happy to be back here on One Up Yours.
On loan from EGM Live.
On loan.
On loan. Is that the new...
It's a plug. There's a plug. Yeah,
what's
a plug.
The URL for EGMLive.oneup.com?
That's it.
Listen to that, too.
You know our official pinch hitter?
A what?
A pinch hitter? I thought he said pinch hitter.
That would be painful.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, so coming up on today's show, we've got the What You've Been Playing segment. We'll hit it first. We got reader mail coming for you. Question of the week, we haven't really settled yet, so we're going to work towards getting that out by the end of the show. And the second segment...
That's just really funny.
We're just going to make
a joke to me. I'm sorry.
I know. We put half a beer in you, and look at you.
I know. He's like a little girl. It's fantastic. In the second segment, we're going to be hitting the story of what happens to an IP when it goes multi-platform if you had an exclusive contract. So we're kicking off on that Grand Theft Auto thing, and now that it's going to be multi-platform, is it still as important as it used to be? And then in the third and final segment, we'll hit the news and, you know, just kind of bullshit it up like we usually do, right?
That's the plan.
Okay.
That's the plan.
We'll do that.
All right.
That's what you said. Skip's nodding, so that's
John
what we're
doing. John has been on my ass all week. It's like every time I turn around, he's like whacking me over the head or something.
We're not making those jokes, right?
What?
No.
No. Just stop. So you get to start then. What are you playing, Luke?
Well, this week we played Ghost Recon Online.
Yeah,
so
we did.
That was the first time I'd sort of jumped into the graw.
Man, that's the hottest game of March 2006.
Did you enjoy it?
Almost.
I missed out on that game because I was not very well.
No, yeah, I almost enjoyed it. The thing was, there were eight of us all from like EGM and 1UP, and we were all just doing the...
Is it still crashing?
I got kicked like three games in a row.
I know Shu got kicked out of it too.
Yeah, it was just... It could be a lot of fun. Like it'll be a lot of fun when we go at it with four people playing. Like the modes where you just get zerged by the enemies will be fun,
yeah.
And like the mission stuff will be fun co-op. But when you start to play deathmatch,
because I found that if you play that in bed with the wife sleeping next to you, she doesn't appreciate the occasional loud exclamations into the microphone. No,
oh.
Doesn't make you popular.
It's a game winner. It's a game winning tip. So we ended up actually, like, after playing a couple games of deathmatch, we just went and played Halo 2. And
on the 360?
Yeah, just on the 360.
Yeah.
So that
you probably wouldn't appreciate it like if you like threw the controller down in disgust either, huh?
Why didn't you play Perfect Dark Zero, Luke?
Because I don't have PDZ and because Halo 2 is a superior game.
Just checking.
Okay. I'm not afraid to say it. I'll play Halo CE too. Make it on live.
Look, he likes the 360. It's not like he's going to ref PDZ.
Yeah, I'm not going to champion it like you're about to get behind Warhawk in a few months.
Why you got to hate on Warhawk?
What you playing, Shane?
I'm playing Warhawk, man. That thing's awesome. I'm flying the controller around.
I am playing a really awesome game by Sony Computer Entertainment.
He's got the Segway
we
skills.
Got the full copy of Logoroco, finally.
Oh, awesome.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
You can't borrow it.
Does it get any more complicated than just spilling a big blob around?
You know, I wish I could tell you, but before I could get that far, someone took it from me. So I need to get it back, because you only got one.
Oh, okay.
And as you can imagine, it's hot stuff. So
you can't borrow it, but you can sure as hell steal it.
Is it going to be a $40, $50 game?
I'm afraid so. I think it's $39, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know.
It's apparently got a lot of shit in it, though, right?
Yeah. I think it'll be worth it.
Any multiplayer?
Don't know.
I don't think so. How would you multiplayer that?
Well,
I don't know.
But, I mean, it's pretty innovative, so you would think some form of innovation would happen.
Well,
innovation would happen.
This innovative game must have innovative multiplayer.
In addition
to Logoroco, I've also been playing a bunch of really terrible, horrible, old, weird games that I brought in to tape for the thing called Broken Pixel that they do on the One Up show, and I think it's going to be on next week's episode. So
oh, cool.
Look for that. There's some really, really disturbing, terrifying stuff.
Which one's your favorite?
Queen of Queens. It's probably the game that I'm most proud of owning. It's this full motion video, all female wrestling game.
Luke looked like he's going to burst. No, don't
no,
do
no,
it.
No, go ahead.
Don't
no.
do it.
I just was going to make a Freddie Mercury joke.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But no.
Moratorium on that.
It's amazing. Tune in.
All right, cool. John?
I finished up playing Field Commander because I put the review up this week and played some multiplayer. And that game really comes into its own in multiplayer, actually. Kind of the way that things like Command & Conquer used to. Like, once you're playing against a human opponent, it completely changes the feel of the game. Because you have to play very aggressively. And the AI in the game is a bit of a pussy, and so if you like, you can keep rushing it, but then if you play somebody else who's also been playing the single player and they're used to being really aggressive, it completely changes the dynamic. Because then you've got two people that are being really brutal and really aggressive, and suddenly you've got this game that gets really, really hard.
Strategy games almost have to have multiplayer. I mean, there's not a one of them that's especially fun to play.
There was some chat on the message board. Portable Mind said that he went and bought this after hearing me raving about it. And doesn't like it, and then which then seems to turn into a bit of a flame war with everyone else seeming to like it.
I mean, do you find that like people who are really into Advance Wars don't like this?
No, I mean, this guy said it's.
How could they not?
Well, this guy says well, similar to Advance Wars. Okay. I feel Advance Wars is more streamlined multiplayer, and it's the custom maps and online play. But he hates the interface and everything. But then everyone seemed to disagree with him and say that, well, how can something that's so gratuitous a rip-off of Advance Wars be bad? It's just more Advance Wars, really. Which is, I think
I've heard people say it lacks the charm of Advance Wars, but right. People like that it's more.
It doesn't
serious.
Have the personality, but it is a bit more ambitious. I think the things like the map editor is kind of cool.
It's a mission creation.
All that mission creation stuff, and the fact that it gives you absolutely no excuse not to play it multiplayer, because it does, you know, ad hoc and infrastructure. It does the swapping thing where you can just pass the thing backwards and forwards, which. You know, Hotshots Golf didn't do that, bizarrely. Right. You know, turn-based game, you can't pass it backwards and forwards.
It also has the play-by-mail thing, right?
So. Yeah, which...
See, now that part was really cool.
I mean, it's really cool, but I mean, no one... I don't know how many people are really going to do it, but it's cool. What they did, they gave you every possible way of playing someone else, because that's really how they want you to play it.
Well, how big are turns? So I guess the question is, how big are turns in the game? I mean, are they really long? Are they
like... you can have 20-some-plus units to move at a time.
So to me, play-by-mail would make sense, because that's the way I'd probably have time to play it. That's probably the way I would play it if I was playing it.
Not many of the maps are that big. So, I mean, there's the Fog of War thing, so you are going after... But, I mean, within a few moves, you know where most of the stuff is.
Right.
So, I mean, no battle is going to take you weeks and weeks even doing it play-by-mail.
So it's cool. How many people are actually going to use the map editor? You thought that was cool. Would you use the map editor?
No. Yeah, it's cool to have.
How is it cool to have?
Because here's why it's cool to have, though, is because take a look at Advance Wars and go to like one of these old Advance Wars fan sites, and there are these communities that spring up, and these communities of these like rabid Advance Wars fans who make these great maps. And it's not the idea of me sitting down to make a map, because I just don't have the time for it, but that it spawns community and that it spawns a group of people who are passionate about it, I think that's great. Regardless of whether or not I'm going
to
use it.
I mean, the value that this game represents is immense. There's so much gameplay to it, and like if you're into it, you can jump into this community and you can extend the life of the game for as long as you want to play it. I mean, it will give you a completely blank map, and you can drop anything down on it.
How many missions is a single player campaign?
30.
That's pretty good. It'll keep you busy for a while.
Yeah, and then there's a multiplayer on top, and then you can build the map and upload it to the SOE server, and you can pull anyone's map down.
You looking for challengers?
Sure.
All right. Well, we have to check it out. You got a copy, right?
Yeah, I have mine actually with me.
So we may have to check it out sometime. I definitely loved Advance Wars. I didn't play Advance Wars DS, but I'd like to check that out. All right. So I've been playing Titan Quest on the PC today.
What? Is that like Titan AE? What is that?
It's like Diablo.
Dude, it's so Diablo. Diablo 3. It's
I
so
thought
funny.
That exact same thing.
Titan Quest.
And it's not. It's like Jason the Argonauts.
No, it's absolutely Diablo 3. It's so Diablo 3. It's scary. And that's cool. I mean, it's like the same that made me think about it is the clone thing. So do you want games that are cloned to be clones, or do you want them to actually be different or something? I mean, the thing I like about Titan Quest.
I think in the case of this, like, it's been so long since Diablo 2, and everybody wants so badly that I think people probably want Diablo 2
Quest. I mean, I watched you play, and it is like Diablo with really pretty graphics.
Really pretty graphics. Yeah, you fall into the game, and I'm telling you, today I was, like, back in that same zone where, like, 2 hours would go by, and I was like, oh, shit, that was 2 hours, and it's, like, 5 minutes. You know, so that's the thing. That's the thing with this game. It's back to that same Diablo deal where you cruise in.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. You don't get the Diablo thing, right?
Well, I walked in and this was using your computer. You're sitting there. You look totally zoned out. The lights are off. I feel like it's a date, and you just mash on your mouse key. And I was like, fuck this game.
Yeah, that was my problem with Diablo, that it didn't actually have any gameplay. Whenever I'd see somebody
clicking.
I was like, the gameplay in Diablo is very similar to the gameplay in a game I call Windows Desktop.
That's a good game. I have that one on my PC.
Which is very similar to the gameplay in a game I call World of Warcraft.
Speaking of
Diablo and World of Warcraft, I heard a rumor today that Blizzard is going to announce one more game this year that they didn't mention at E3.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. It's
Diablo 3.
You think it's Diablo 3?
I don't think it's Diablo 3.
Announcement, dude. We already knew it was under development. Whoa, it's just they canned the team and started over.
Well, I heard they moved the team to the expansion because they needed the help. That's what I heard.
Right, but beyond Burning Crusade, there's one other thing that they're going to be talking about this year.
There's StarCraft 2 and there's Diablo 3, but just a matter of which comes first. And
you don't think they might announce a port?
I don't think it's that. I think it's something new on
original
PC.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well,
you're talking about the PS3 rumor, right? Oh, come on. Don't be so coy.
He's talking about Lost Vikings for
no.
Lost Vikings Wii.
No, it's the PS3 rumor is like a dead rumor now. Like, mm-hmm. Now I'm hearing something. I'm hearing 360 the whole way.
Really?
The whole way. Like,
awesome.
Like the closest, the wife of someone at Blizzard is saying 360. Like, I mean, she's boning the guy. That's the type of shit you say in the midst of passion.
Oh God, 360.
360 version of Warcraft.
Or PS3 if you're sleeping with Shane.
If you're Luke, you're hitting that, you're going, oh baby, live arcade. Oh.
Good. I'm glad we got sex noises into the show.
Wait, anyway, so hey, geometry, baby.
Let me finish.
Garnet down. Hey, Send help.
The Titan Quest thing is that... next week, we'll have some footage up. So I was direct feeding today. So you can decide for yourself if you like it. We'll have lots of direct feed up. I got a preview coming. So there'll be some stuff up next week to look.
Generally, we like to wait for people to play the game for them to decide if they like it. But I know the gamers like to just look at it and decide if they like it.
They can see some actual footage of the game in action. All right?
When is the game out?
I don't want to see any footage of you in action. I want to see the game in action.
Game's ignoring me.
Game's out in June.
Okay.
It's out in June.
Who's publishing it?
Wait, so Skip said we have 5 minutes. We really should talk to the readers.
What was the question
of the week last week?
The question of the week was we extended the what do you want us to cover next, right?
That's what we did.
So, Duck Hunter 007 wants Super Paper Mario stuff. So
me too.
Good for him,
dude. We all do.
Yeah.
We love it.
We all do.
We're working on it. Desperately.
Desperately. Love it.
Solid Snake KA13 wants more on Mass Effect and refers to Garnet as G-Man, which is not something that the rest of us will be using.
Ever.
What the hell did I do to John this week?
I think with Mass Effect now.
It's like, yeah, that's right. It's LL Cool G. It's LL Cool G.
I'm sorry. Well, what?
To answer this kid's question, coming out of E3, I think now Microsoft realizes that, wait a minute, Mass Effect, people like. Maybe we should have shown this at our press conference.
I think a lot of people have been asking about video on that because there's one teaser, and it was from last February or something, and they haven't released any video on that since.
I was reviewing the notes from an interview I did with Shane Kim, and it was just like the left overs from it, and he, because I, in the interview, I addressed exactly that. I was like, Mass Effect, why aren't we seeing more? Mm-hmm. And he made sure to point out, like, Mass Effect, they definitely have a plan for it and a strategy for it, and its day in the sun is coming. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's coming sooner than we think.
But the game is next spring. So.
It's next spring, so they don't want to start too early. Like, yeah. I know that we've been sort of like in the office trying to figure out how to get more Mass Effect because we know that people want it. And I know that Microsoft this week sat down with their PR group and are talking about it. So hopefully pretty soon you'll see some new media. Mm-hmm.
Dude, if you're graphics, apparently you don't want it. Graphics says, you guys seriously need to shut up about Spore. And while you're at it, give Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect, Gears of War, Two Human, Crisis, Metroid Prime 3, Legends of Zelda, Heavenly Sword, and Resistance all a rest until you get some new footage or something. So he like totally goes off.
Okay, that's everything we've talked about.
What's that guy's name, though?
Graphics. Graph 1K.
He should maybe like understand how the game industry works and that like assets don't just appear out of thin air when someone wakes up in the morning like a dollar under your pillow.
Alright, so I'm just going to say, I mean, here's the rest of what he says. He said, until you can deliver that, why even bother showing it? And for that matter, why do you one-up guys bother talking about it? And if you saw it in motion behind closed doors, give us in-depth information about the demo other than it looked awesome or it was badass. How about covering some games no one else is covering or at least go into more depth about why you guys liked a certain game or disliked it?
thought we did that.
I thought we did too.
Does he have us confused with another show?
Yeah, I think he's been listening to. No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to throw stones. He does want us to talk about Hellgate London.
We've talked about Hellgate
London. I know. And Heavy Rain. Haze. He thinks Frayed Radical knows some stuff.
Haze. People did not come out of Haze that was impressed.
Great about
they
that.
Talked a big game, and then they see it as another shooter.
So you said it looks very free. We were talking about it at lunch today. You said it looked very Free Radical.
Free Radical has a definite sort of look to all their stuff.
For the kids, like, what kind of games from Free Radical were you thinking it looked
well,
like?
Well, the graphics, the sort of the art style in all the TimeSplitters game and in the other one that I don't remember the name of.
I couldn't remember the other one, too. You were supposed to help me out with that.
Hang on. We're getting something pointer.
It's not that important.
It's not that important, but it made me laugh. I was expecting Garnet to keep going while I shared this
video. Well, let me read this kid. This kid here wants to see more Dead Rising, but he doesn't want to see more Time Shift because he's played the demo on that one, and he said it's very generic, and he's not by it. That's Reverend Slim. So Dead Rising, we actually have a playable build of that here in the office, and it's still really early at this point. Like, it's pretty kind of janky.
Well, that's pretty ballsy of them to send you a playable.
Yeah,
right now.
I thought it was too early because this game doesn't come out for months and months, and they shouldn't have sent us something this early.
I still can't remember what the other Free Radical game's called.
Yeah, I can't.
It was the Survive, the one that came out the with all the physics and the guy.
Nobody cared. It has two words in it. Yeah. Nobody.
But anyway,
Second Sight.
But the art style, they have this sort of very rounded, sort of smooth kind
of...
A lot of bald British people. That's great.
But, I mean, they do have an artistic style, but, I mean, it was something that suited the PS2 technology very well because it kind of skirted over the limitations of some of the graphics with the model, so they were very stylized. But when you see it on a next gen, it just seems a little bit kind of, I don't know. You saw it, right?
Yeah,
Haze?
I think it was oversold.
Yeah,
like they really got you in a room and they hyped you up with like this, like.
Well, I mean,
you know,
aren't Free Radical really all that?
No,
I don't know. Second Sight had a really cool cinematic vibe to it, though. I liked the way the story was told. Now you remind me.
Nobody bought that game.
But nobody bought the game.
The problem is those guys are still kind of like riding on the coattails of Rare somehow. Like one guy used to work on Goldeneye.
From the guys that worked on Goldeneye.
Yeah, and like that, you can only do that for so long.
That's because they oversold that whole TimeSplitters is the Bond team.
Yeah. Right.
It's the Goldeneye.
So, there's a question here that I don't know the answer to, but maybe one of you guys is. Dr. No was asking, where was Resident Evil 5?
TGS. If you notice, almost no next-gen Japanese games were at the show in any presentable form, and that's because of Tokyo Game Show. They're going to make Tokyo Game Show be like the E3
for Japan. Yeah.
So that's why.
So there are lots of games that you could ask that question about.
Right. I mean, we got a lot of responses to this question. I mean, there was like 9 or 10 pages on the message board, but I mean, a lot of it did come back to, you know, more on Mass Effect. A few people were asking about Resistance, Fall of Man.
Well, you know, for people who are looking for more info on, like, the games that weren't the 10 that everybody's talking about, you know, I realized that at EGM, in the issue after E3, we had to talk about the big stuff. But then the issue after that one, which is our August issue, we're going to focus on the games that are really cool that aren't the big sequels you've already seen.
So nice. There's a lot of new franchises coming this year.
A lot of new franchises.
Things we're going to see sequels of for the next 5 years.
Exactly.
All right, so we hit on some of the high points from here, but, man, we read all these. So if you put stuff up there, we're definitely paying attention to it. Oh, wait a minute.
I have one last one. This is from Giant Food Monster. I want to hear about how when Shane takes a shit, he stays in there a little longer because he loves the smell so much. He can also tell me how his shit is superior to everyone else's on the podcast. When he's done, he can try to sell it to me for an outrageous price.
And it'll play Blu-ray.
Which, incidentally... can't play DVDs, right, Garnet?
No. Yeah, absolutely. That's the problem with the Blu-ray player. The Blu-ray player can't play DVDs. It really sucks.
In case you guys didn't know, next-gen shit doesn't start until May.
All right, well, he is the purveyor of next-gen shit.
Get us out of here.
All right, so we're coming back after the break with our whole little deal on gaming IPs that go multi-platform. So we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to One Up Yours, part of the One Up Radio Network.
Listen to EGM Live to hear Electronic Gaming Monthly editors take you beyond the pages of the magazine.
Extended impressions of the hottest games.
Shocking celebrity guest stars.
Exterminate all man animals at will!
And the newest video game soundtracks.
That's EGM Live, available at egmlive.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
All right, we're back. I got me a fresh beer, so we're set to go. You guys didn't get one.
Mine's still half full. My like third one.
What are you nursing that thing?
Yeah, this one.
This one. All right, so we saw in the forums where people had been asking us about whether or not like Grand Theft Auto was still relevant, and that actually kicked off a big discussion. We've had like two or three lunches in a row now talking about what happens to these exclusive IPs when they branch out. Are they able to maintain their momentum? Do they stay big? Do they still matter when they go multi-platform?
I don't think that they do. The first thing that I pointed out when we were talking about it at lunch was that part of what makes Grand Theft Auto, or even to a lesser extent Metal Gear and Halo, so powerful is that these are IPs that you have to get the system. That's a huge part of what makes an IP strong from a development from like the standpoint of a platform maker. So as soon as Grand Theft Auto becomes multi-platform, its exclusivity is lost. It becomes available on the 360 and the PS3 on day one, and it empowers the consumer. And that relationship's really interesting because now the consumer is empowered to make a choice between the two platforms. And as you empower the consumer, the relationship is inverse and the IP loses strength. And so that was the sort of like, that was the conclusion that I reached and thought was really interesting.
Well, he's getting into that heavy duty formula stuff now.
Well, yeah, that's what it is. That's why Halo is still powerful. That's why Madden is a great system seller, but ultimately it's only as powerful as the duration that it's exclusive.
That's kind of why E3 this year was so surprising, because we were expecting Sony to come out with more of these exclusives. Because the last generation, it was all about fighting for exclusives. But GTA, I mean, it's kind of in a league of its own. They sold 13 million in the last one.
Man, I don't even know that I'd say expecting them to come out with it. I was expecting Sony to steamroll me with exclusives. You're going to have PS3 to get this and this and this. And look,
they think that they did steamroll you with exclusives.
Yeah, you know what? Guess what? Not.
But what we needed Metal Gear and Grand Theft Auto and Final Fantasy and a bunch of other stuff as well. And like, all we really got third party from Microsoft was Splinter Cell.
Which is right. It's only exclusive by fault of it coming out.
Right.
You know, well, wait a minute.
It's exclusive in the same sense that Assassin's Creed is, to be
fair. Let's talk about Grand Theft Auto, though, because Grand Theft Auto is a very, very powerful brand. They sold 13 million in the last one, which means the tie ratio on PS2 is almost 50% of the installed base bought that game.
I never heard that 13 million figure, because it's about 5 million in America.
Right, but worldwide, it was a huge, huge franchise, and it did sell a lot of PS2s.
It did.
I want to jump in, though, real quick, because you said 13 million, but isn't PS2 total user base like 100 million?
It's 90 million. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's not. I just want to point out that it's not 50% kid does.
At the time, right?
Right.
Vice City or whatever did around that number when the install base was about, you know, was pushing up on 40. So, it was a very, very big game.
I think a better example would be Call of Duty 2, which is currently, Call of Duty 2 is exclusive to Xbox 360, and it currently has a 66% tie ratio with Xbox 360 hardware.
But it's not really selling Xboxes.
People are buying it. The most people are buying it than any other game.
But I agree. I don't think people are buying a 360 to get Call of Duty. I think they're buying 360 and going, oh, well, shit, I'll take a buy Call of Duty.
There's not much else to play. I'll get Call of Duty 2.
When Call of Duty 3 comes out on everything at the same day this fall, will anybody care anymore? Right. I think that's where we're getting
at. Let's get back to GTA, because it is an important thing. You're arguing that the power of the franchise has been diminished by it being spread across two platforms.
I'm arguing because part of what makes a franchise powerful, in addition to simply moving units, is from a publisher standpoint, from a platform developing standpoint, from Sony's...
It can represent a platform.
It represents sales to them.
So are we saying then that if the install base of 360 is 10 million when that thing comes out, or whatever it's going to be, and the PS3... It's next year, isn't it? So the PS3 could be at 5 million. So of the between 15 and 20 million potential customers that there are out there, are we saying that it's not going to do what it would have done if it was exclusive to one platform?
No, but it won't have the same effect on that one platform. That's what I'm saying.
Wait. Are you just trying to tell me?
It just dilutes the brand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, thank you.
It dilutes the brand, but they sell more.
I'm not talking about the strength of the IP relative to other IPs. I'm not talking about Grand Theft Auto's strength as an IP versus Halo's strength as an IP. I'm talking about Grand Theft Auto's strength as an IP as it's valued to Sony, or now to Sony and Microsoft.
Okay, so like, Shane's seen this all from EGM's perspective. Mm-hmm. You've seen all three Grand Thefts,
yeah,
through EGM's eyes, right? The first one definitely a PS2 game, right?
Well, they've all been PS2 games because there was 6 months of
That's what I wanted to know.
And when they did end up on Xbox, they did sell, but it was like a fraction, like a tenth of what they sold.
So in EGM's eyes, like PS2. You guys would say that as the gamers thought about it, I mean, Grand Theft was a PS2 game.
Most of the GTA fans are PlayStation 2 owners. It's true. Like,
right,
the majority
of them.
Let's get
that back into reality, and that most of the people that were going to... A lot of people with Xboxes have PS2s.
Yes, multi-platform.
You know, when you have an install base that big, the Xbox was a second console. You know, and I don't think anyone that only had an Xbox, I mean, they bought one because there were specific things that they wanted. But what we're going into now is a very different situation where you are going to have a choice.
I mean, what you're losing here is, like, you know, are you concerned about the fans? Are you concerned about the franchise? Do you think Rockstar is losing money?
No, I don't think
Rockstar has a sweet deal with Microsoft. I mean, this isn't happening just because Rockstar wants to sell more copies. Like, you know, if you think for a second that there isn't something going on with co-marketing and just money, you know, from Microsoft to Rockstar. Yeah.
But, John, you threw it out there. What was your response when you saw that heard through the grapevine that Microsoft had not ponied up to do the exclusive?
That Microsoft hadn't ponied up?
Right.
Well, back in...
Wasn't the word that they had the opportunity to be exclusive?
They had the opportunity, but I think the assumption was that, you know, because of the past relationship, that it was more likely to go PS3 exclusive. So, and the fact that Microsoft... Well, even though it's not exclusive to 360, Microsoft took the opportunity to associate it with Xbox before Sony had the opportunity to associate it with PS3. And until the PS3 is out, I think Microsoft continues to have that opportunity.
I just don't want to, like, be strayed from the point I'm trying to make. If Grand Theft Auto was on the PS3 exclusively to people who might not otherwise buy a PS3...
Oh, it would sell PS3.
Exactly. But now it's going to not help Sony. Its power as a system seller has been diminished.
Right, it's not a system seller anymore. It's a powerful franchise that's out there.
And that's what I'm saying, is its power as a system seller, and in some senses, that can dictate the power of an IP, especially like a former exclusive, which in a lot of ways, I'll contend, was a crutch for Sony, that Grand Theft Auto was. Now that that's gone...
So the question now is it a next-generation seller? And in which case, who stands to gain the most from it as a next-gen seller? So if people are not going to buy a 360 or a PS3 this year, they're waiting to next year when all the big guns start to happen, what do you think GTA is going to do next October?
It's going to ride the coattails of Halo 3, because Halo 3 is infinitely bigger than Metal Gear Solid
3. So you think that ultimately...
Whoa, where did that come from? Shane, come on, dude.
It comes from the pit of truth.
Halo 3 will...
The pit of truth that had the Audrey in it?
Halo 3 will sell, like, 2 to 3 times as many copies.
And that's what I'm saying.
So I agree with that.
Like, the move ultimately benefits Microsoft, if you want to look at it that way, Final Fantasy 13 could counter Halo 3 in every way.
Right, well, but GTA is a secondary game now.
That's what I'm saying. It's a secondary game, because you can get it regardless of your primary games.
Right, but it comes out in October next year. It is going to be something that pulls people towards next-gen platforms, because there are people that want to play the next GTA. They're not going to want to play, you know, they don't want to play Liberty City Stories or whatever is being pushed next on PS2. They want a next-gen GTA. It could be a game that pulls people into the next generation. Who do you think is going to benefit from it?
Microsoft.
Can I use my one now? You guys are fucking nuts. There is no way that Grand Theft Auto is suddenly marginalized because it's not on one platform. It's not at all.
I feel like I'm saying it's marginalized.
No, you guys are arguing different points.
It's not a secondary game.
It is a secondary game. No, it is a secondary game, because it's absolutely available on both consoles, where the primary games are going to be... The primary games that dictate what console you buy will be the exclusive software or how games perform.
The game makes it secondary. Look at the other two examples I gave you. So you used to have Crash Bandicoot as an exclusive. You used to have Spyro as an exclusive. Those are games that got hurt by the phenomenon that you're talking about. Those are games that when they were PS2 exclusives were important, but when they went multi-platform, no one gave a damn, and now they're dead.
But I kind of see where you're coming from to a lesser extent, is that if you are on the fence about a system to buy, you're going to make the choice on exclusives, and GTA is a bonus.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
GTA isn't the reason to go with 360.
But the $200 price difference.
Or PS3. That might be. So it's going to be, okay, I want to play Halo or I want to play Final Fantasy. Well, and then I'm going to play GTA.
You know, when we were doing this year VGM, we do report cards where we give the systems grades. And we did say the lack of exclusivity for GTA 4 is a detriment to Sony. And the addition of having
GTA 4
at the same time is a bonus of 360.
Then you totally agree with me, because that's like...
I do agree with you.
No, not you. Garnet.
Garnet.
No, I agree with that. But that doesn't know what I was disagreeing with was you specifically the way you're saying it, that makes it secondary. It's not secondary at all. I think there's a lot of people that, yeah, it's not going to make them choose which next gen system, but they're going to want a next gen system.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to want a next gen system, and then what they're going to be thinking about is not where do I want to play GTA. It's what other game on what platform do I want to play and have GTA.
But that doesn't make GTA secondary.
It does make it secondary.
Actually,
it absolutely makes it secondary.
It makes GTA primary.
No, it makes GTA secondary as hell because GTA can't be primary if it's available on two different platforms. You're making no sense. I'm going to quit.
Bye.
Hey, don't let me hold you back.
Hang on. This is the segment where people stop listening then.
Okay, which even Luke is not paying attention to. What we don't know about.
Okay. Well, I think he'll be back in a little while.
Directly after that.
I don't know, he may have gone to the crapper.
Let me tell a story. After GTA was announced at the Microsoft press conference, when I was walking out of the Chinese theater, I ran into the PR guy who does GTA, and I was like, that's surprising. I was like, what's the deal? And he's like, well, it's also coming for PS3, and the stuff they said about having exclusive downloadable content for 360, he said that wasn't true. He said that's not going to happen.
Really?
And he said the PS3 version will have stuff that's different in it, too. And so we haven't even seen this game. We don't even know anything about this game.
So the episodic thing isn't true?
He said that it wasn't exactly as Peter Moore had said. And no one knows anything, and he's like, so we don't know anything about this game yet. And for all we know, the versions are different, and there may be a reason to buy both. For all we know. So.
I'm sorry, I'm totally covered in blood. And I don't
sorry,
know
I think I'm
happened.
On my period.
I could tell.
God, it's like talking to a piece of cement sometimes.
There's blood dripping off it from somewhere. How the fuck did that happen?
It's the ceilings. It's just turned into the shining in here.
But yeah, I mean, I think the GTA debate, until we know more about it, because if the versions are different, which I've heard it could be true. So we'll see. Who knows?
All right.
It is a big deal. I mean, it is as if Halo or Pokemon suddenly went multi-platform. Because
those
are the three best-selling franchises of the last generation, Pokemon, Halo, and Grand Theft Auto.
Well, I think we gave the kids plenty to argue about. Obviously, maybe too much to argue about. What do you think?
I mean, I'll be reading the message boards this week.
I think John may be dying.
John's over here. He's like, he's blotting himself
profusely.
With a receipt.
How the hell did this happen?
It's a grand
did I stab you in
it
rage?
Was when he stormed out. Obviously, something horrible happened.
Glass shards off the windows that broke. All right, we'll be back in another couple of seconds here with the news wrap-up, and hopefully we'll have a question for you guys for the week. We'll see you in a couple.
Hi, this is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Computer Gaming World Magazine. With me is Ryan Scott, associate editor of CGW. Say hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Ryan is held at gunpoint right now, and unless you listen to the CGW radio podcast, I'm going to shoot him. So if you want Ryan to live, please listen to the CGW radio podcast at cgwradio.oneup.com or at iTunes. Do it for Ryan. Do it for Ryan's mom.
One Up Yours podcast on the One Up Radio Network. All right, we're back. We've given Luke a paper bag. Breathed in a little while, recovered his oxygen flow.
Christ.
Ready to hit it for a little news?
I guess, yeah. The first thing I want to talk about is that Microsoft came by today and showed us this new spring update that they're calling, and they're doing twice yearly updates to the Xbox Live sort of back end. And this first one is really awesome.
Man, props to them.
And it's really awesome in the sense that, like, it's like Xbox Live has finally left beta.
They fixed most of the annoying little problems that everyone was pissed off.
No, it's like I told Skip, it's like the Trojan horse has unloaded all the soldiers.
Yeah, and now it's like it's way more functional and way less frustrating to use.
So what's I mean? This is a lot of big stuff. I mean, I think the background download,
active download, is awesome. Do you want to explain what that is?
So you can now queue up to 6 things that you want to download from Xbox Live, and then continue to do whatever you want. You can
besides play online games.
You can't play an online game, but you can let it download in the background while you're playing a single player game. You can continue to do things in Marketplace and on Live.
Just so it doesn't confuse anyone, too. It's not that you can not play multiplayer while you're downloading. What it does is the Xbox Live and the Xbox 360 recognizes that you're going to play multiplayer.
Oh, and it ceases the download.
Yeah, it pauses the download, and then when you're done,
so
boom.
It doesn't soak up your bandwidth.
Yeah, then,
so you,
then
you
download
back.
You
can start up to 6 things downloading at once, and then if you stop it, it'll just remember where they were, and it will continue to pick them back up later. So,
dude, the DVD thing was really cool. I liked that.
But, I mean, that...
What
I mean,
was the DVD thing?
So the DVD thing was like, if you're watching a movie... which I know
does
a lot.
Does your DVD player not do that?
My 360 doesn't do that, so I don't really. So,
but like,
so here,
but
two
most
situations.
DVD players do that.
Two situations. If I'm watching a DVD,
we should
for real,
explain what it is.
I put
that
it in my progressive scan
about it.
DVD
it,
that's,
player,
I was gonna. That's why. That's why I did that thing where I was leading with the questions right. to push us in the progressive direction.
Progressive direction. Okay,
stop
so
watching
DVD.
A DVD.
To go and play
so you get a friend invite. So a lot of times if you're watching a DVD on your 360, it's because you're just screwing around. You're watching a DVD you've seen before, right? And so if you get a friend invite, you're going to go play the game that you get a invite to. And this actually pauses the movie where you were watching it. And then when you put it back in, it picks it right back up from the same spot.
I mean, it's cool, but it's not that
it's,
cool.
It's
a lot of DVD players have been doing that for years.
I was happier with them fixing the custom soundtracks.
That was my favorite part of the whole presentation,
so
by the way.
Before. Now, like, you can have your soundtrack playing in the dashboard. It'll continue playing when you go to a game. It's easier to, like, you know, set them up. Yeah,
well, you started to troll them, too. Like, I was, the guy came in and turned on, like, Big Pimpin' by Jay-Z or something. So Skip and I were bobbing our heads. And he goes to go to Geometry Wars. And Shane's like, and this is the part where the Geometry Wars music starts, just to troll. And the guy just hits enter, and the fuck Big Pimpin keeps going, and he's playing Geometry Wars.
I was impressed.
That was cool.
And I was really happy that they're fixing all these things now, because it's kind of like free beta testing for Nintendo and Sony's online.
And the only time
God
that the custom soundtracks stop is if the game can force a custom soundtrack to stop with a cinematic.
Right.
But under normal circumstances, it'll just keep playing. Right?
Exactly right. I was really irritated during the presentation because one of the things they showed was that you can now sort of navigate through trailers. Like, they brought up the Halo 3 trailer and we're fast-forwarding. And when he did that, I'd, like, grit my teeth a little because I felt like that was, like, sort of, like, reading the Bible backwards.
Oh, you grit your teeth because it was the damn Halo 3 trailer and he was fast-forwarding.
I was glad
like, no, you can't fast-forward that.
I did. I clenched my jaw. I was
happy he skipped that boring-ass shit. I've already seen it once and nothing happens in that trailer.
God.
The hair on the back of Luke's neck was all tingling.
It sure as hell no Metal Gear.
He's having a moment.
Sure as hell.
You know, I'm in my refractory period after the last segment. I'm cooling down a little. I need another 10 minutes.
But yeah, it's gonna be it's gonna be an automatic patch. It's like in a week or so. So everybody's.
And how about that? They finally fixed where themes are. How did that even get out of beta?
Now you can find themes.
Oh, that was the stupidest, screwy deal. The way they had it set up.
You still can't really see what the theme looks like though before you buy it.
Which is annoying.
They skirted around the whole idea of previewing anything because. Yeah. A lot of the stuff on live, I mean, it tells you a little bit. Even the arcade stuff, I mean, not much of the stuff really tells you what it is.
Yeah. But
still, I mean,
they're going to do
another fix in around September, I think you said.
It's evolving.
Where they're doing even more stuff. This one is also going to introduce stuff with Xbox Live Vision as well, so the camera stuff's going to be supported. And they've rearranged a lot of the menus, and it seems a lot more structured the way things fall under the right blades. And
yeah, not to beat the horse to death, but like Mark McDonald and I sat down this afternoon, and we did a complete video demo, and that's up on 1UP.com now. And you'll be able to go to the news story or to game videos, and there will be a link to game videos, and I'll throw a link to the news story in my blog, too. And you'll be able to check out the whole thing there, and we tour the whole thing.
And even
so
though it's
an easy
a video
way to just
of
check
menus,
it
it's a lot more interesting than it sounds.
No, yeah, it is.
Well, because what I liked about what they did is they're not treating it as like patching shit because it's broken. They're treating it as like this is a living thing. And hey,
fan
we
service.
Can keep, exactly. We can keep making it better. We can keep adding to it. We can keep doing it the way you guys tell us we ought to do it. So first week of June, right?
That's what I think. I don't think it's going to be next week just because of the holiday weekend. I think it'll be the first real full week of June.
Yeah, they won't try to deploy next week.
No.
Maybe they will, but my guess is the following week.
All right. What else you got for us, man?
Well, this Dan Dormer, one of our news guys, stumbled across this thing this morning, and he aimed me in all caps, like, Luke, you got to check this out. Oh, my God. And it was a link to, like, a Whois page for WeKaraoke.com. And Nintendo just registered WeKaraoke.com, so we quick put up the story. And then, I mean, WeKaraoke.com, obviously the next jump that you make is like, huh. Maybe there's a microphone in the controller. And that's sort of been a rumor, a sort of a persistent rumor that we've been, you know, bouncing off the walls or whatever, and now it seems like that's a little more real. And speculation has sort of complicated even further, where people are suggesting that now there will be, like, VoIP and, like, a built-in contact book in the Wiimote. So the Wiimote is sort of like this weird gateway for communication in addition to being this, you know, play space navigator.
I'm not buying the voice over IP thing, because the controller being the way that it's physical in nature, there's no way they're going to want you to...
See, I think,
suddenly
there's a chance.
Suddenly they're breaking the the stated goals of the machine. It's all about simplicity and keeping things fun. And they're not going to want you to sort of, oh, now it's a communicator and now it's a game controller and now it's the... I don't think they're going to do that.
If you're doing karaoke over Wi-Fi internet with a friend, that's pretty Nintendo-y. I don't know.
Right, like, but I think by the voiceover, I think people are thinking, oh, it's going to be the communicator games. No. They're not going to do that.
So is there any reason the microphone couldn't be like the nunchuck?
It could be something you plug into the controller.
Well, yeah, because I mean, it would make sense to have a microphone in the controller because then, I mean, then it's got all the DS, a lot of the DS functionality as well. It's a device in every way that you can, you know.
Oh, great. I'm going to be holding the Wii controller up to my mouth, blowing on it.
You can blow into it, you can shake it, and blow it.
Dude, am I the only one who didn't get it?
I mean, must resist.
Complete with hand motions.
That and the fact that it'll do stuff online, but I don't think it is their solution to the Xbox Live mic setup or the. I don't think they're going to go that way with it. It would seem contrary to everything that they've been saying about Wii so far. It'd just make it too complicated.
But there is the last... right? There's
last
the last...
Secret.
Now, do you know what it is?
No.
This is going to be like a new part of the show. When will John's phone go off?
Oh, when will...
John, it's your wife. Could you please come home soon? It'd be awesome. The kids miss you.
You know, that's probably what it was.
and by the way, do you want Indian or Chinese?
Whatever she's cooking, right?
Good answer, not married guy.
So I think says you. Says fucking you. Like, I don't need to retell some stories from post-lunch today because this is the news segment.
So back on the subject of games. So Nintendo is going to have a big event at some point before the launch of Wii where they talk about everything involving the online and all the secrets. And
probably announce an official price, which they sort of announced today when they said that the Wii, they sent out a release that said the Wii will cost less than the equivalent of $250 in America.
Well, actually, they said like 25,000 yen, which is like $230 in America.
But everyone jumped to $249.99, which is a sketchy price, one, because Nintendo hasn't launched hardware above $199.99. Like, Shane and I talked about it this morning because I ran over to him first when I saw it.
They
did. Yeah, with the Nintendo 64, it was like $249.99 until like the day before it came out. And they were like, just kidding. And so that's sort of the price that's been associated with Nintendo hardware. And I think that it's a really dangerous ground for Nintendo to be considering launching at $249.99 because at that point, they're getting into what I would consider sort of a next generation pricing standpoint. And everything Nintendo's indicated up to this point has been like, we're new generation and we're affordable. And, you know, that's what Nintendo is. And $249.99 is $50 less than the core pack from Microsoft, which is a next generation system with some like...
It's a hell of a lot of money for a controller. I mean, it's a whole lot of money for a controller because let me tell you what. Doesn't have HD.
What's the GameCube cost right now? $100?
Yeah.
So I think $100 for the controller peripheral, which is what it still is, kids. That's what it is. So $199.99 is the right price.
Well, all I can tell you is new generation is not next generation because this thing doesn't have HD, which was already kind of annoying, but now we find out it doesn't have Dolby Digital support either. So, by the way, I can't hook it up to my surround sound system.
But you guys,
what the hell?
You guys are splitting hairs. For like mom consumer who goes into stores this November and she sees $599 for PS3, $399 for Xbox 360, and $249 if that is the price.
Right, so here's Nintendo's gamble. Nintendo's gamble is now basically saying people don't have HD TVs and they don't have home theater. What the hell is it, 1997?
When did the GameCube come out? Because I think that's what year it is.
But I tell you, as many as they can ship, they're going to sell. And we know
Hi, every console launch. Hi, Neo Geo launch. I mean,
with it too. But I'm saying is that there's a start of turning the Wii into more of like, you know, like a machine you hook up to your television to play games, but not so much a game console. It's not next gen. That really bugs me
new gen.
What?
A box you plug into your TV to play games?
Right,
exactly what it is.
I mean,
get him, John. Get him.
I mean, it's like one of those. I mean, it's like one of those Zavix toys. You know,
but they're not dicking around with movies. They're not dicking around.
Doesn't it play DVDs?
You have to buy a separate component to play DVDs.
But it is capable of playing DVDs. See, I want to make sure and not screw up any of that DVD playback.
It does not play DVDs out of the box.
What's up last week?
But why the fuck would you want to? I mean, everything plays DVDs.
If you don't have a DVD player by now... Yeah, if you're like a little kid who doesn't have a DVD player, then you can buy the $30 thing on my DVDs, whatever. But I think the price of $249 is still completely acceptable, and I'll buy one.
There was an argument with the GameCube that by going cheap, they cheapened the brand against the competition, and that might have been why they didn't do very well. But now the focus is so different, and that, you know, Sony wants to be everything to everyone, and Nintendo wants to be one thing.
So the argument was that because it was $199, I, as a consumer, didn't think that it was anywhere near as good as the other machines that were more expensive.
That's one of the arguments for why the GameCube... I mean, there's lots of arguments for why the GameCube didn't work, but I think early on...
Did these
on,
tools play Resident Evil 4? Because that shit was awesome.
Well,
I mean,
clearly
that's
not, because they didn't buy GameCubes.
You know what? I want to use that... And I know this is news, sorry, but I want to gateway from that to, like, Resident Evil 4 and, to a lesser degree, like, parts of Halo 2 are good enough looking games. Like, we were talking at lunch today down at Taylor's. Like, the Halo 2 cutscenes, when Halo 2 goes to cutscene, and still, whatever, it's in-game engine, LOL. When it goes to cutscene, if Halo 3 just looks that good and runs at 60 frames per second, great. Resident Evil 4 looks plenty good to be this gen, last gen, next gen, whatever.
You know what?
It looks good enough, and it needs to perform better. And that's what games need to do going
perform
forward.
Better? It's worse than that. It's worse than that. And this is like a roundtable for another day. The move to this generation pisses me off really bad, because here's what happened is we got all the way to where these generation of consoles ought to be in their heyday, ought to be in that time when they're making the best damn content for them, and all of a sudden the attention shifted off of them. Look at how marginalized PS2 was this year. Look at how gone Xbox is.
PS2 was not marginalized at E3. PS2 had a better showing than Xbox 360.
Anyway, we'll just shove him in the closet or
PS2
something.
PS2 has so many good games.
But what happens is, as you get to the end of a life cycle, that's when the best games are made for consoles, because developers know how to do them. They know how to do every trick with them, and they can really focus on content. And now we're back to, oh, gee whiz, look at the freaking graphics. I want good quality.
Do we have time for him to talk about this a little
bit? Yeah, no, we have tons of time.
Do you mean name me how many games for PS2 I'm going to buy this fall? There's like six. Like Final Fantasy 12, Guitar Hero 2, God of War 2, Rogue Galaxy.
It's really important because most of the people that we're talking to right now need to hear this.
There are like literally like 15 to 20 PS2 exclusives that are good.
Okay, and you know that I meant by marginalized presentation, in that Sony shoved them to the back of their hall.
I thought the lines for God of War 2 were longer than the lines for a lot of the PS3 games.
I mean, that surprises no one.
Again, presentation, not
a
response.
What's up, Warhawk?
I mean, you cannot argue. Sony is doing an incredible job with PS2. Look at Xbox One. Look at GameCube. Sony is surviving. PS2 is like almost 7 years old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or older now. Like, and it had an amazing show.
Well, and the games you're talking about are awesome because they're developed out at the end of the life cycle. Right. I don't want to see people... I don't want to see those guys wasting their time on PS3. I want them to see them making more badass games.
I'm glad that Shane mentioned that, too, because there was something earlier in the news this week. I read it at GameSetWatch.com, where a guy went through and looked at the Xbox release calendar for the rest of the year. And it was... I don't know the exact number, so I'm not going to... It was... teeny. It was
done.
Just petite as far as what Microsoft was doing with the Xbox. Well,
Microsoft abandoned that system a year ago.
Yeah,
it sucks.
And see, that's the thing. Like, it's really frustrating because at the end of that gen, you had stuff like Ninja Gaiden come out, which, okay, that game looks great, plays great, runs great. I'm 100% content with it as an experience. It looks good enough for me. It will look good enough for me.
Ninja Gaiden came out 2 years after the system launched. That's not exactly the end of that gen.
12, I mean, didn't it come 2004?
Came out...
Beginning of 2004, I thought.
What it was a result of Team Ninja's abilities that they had learned over already working on the system.
Like, right. What I'm saying is piggybacking off of what Garnet's saying, is when Ninja Gaiden came out, it was when the system was in its prime, when it hit its stride. And as soon as it hit its stride, I felt like with Microsoft, it was like, last gasp, yeah. Halo 2,
Dude, not
and
even last
done.
Gasp. They
done.
Freaking cut the legs out from under
and
it.
And that was it. And, like, it's good,
well, I mean,
it's good
that
to
was
see
strategy.
Sony continuing with this stuff,
yeah,
though.
I mean, well, that's the different strategies. That's the difference of, like, 360 versus PS3. Different strategies.
Very different strategies.
But
Sony
with the
PS2
stuff,
it.
The thing that we're finding is that not only are people don't seem to be seeking out information on this stuff, we're not seeing people come to 1UP and like looking for this PS2 stuff particularly, but also we're not seeing many people push the games very hard. There's this great stuff coming, and it's being brushed under the carpet on both sides, both from gamers like being somewhat indifferent because they're excited about PS3 and 360, and the publishers because they want to draw attention to the fact that, look what we're doing on next gen.
Well, when I first started at 1UP, the PS2 door was still big.
Yeah.
And now, am I right?
It should be. There's like 40 million
people. But now,
hardcore gamers. Hardcore gamers are moving on, but the regular gamers, like Joe Gamer who lives in the middle of America, he's not moving on yet. He's going to be playing PS2 games for 2 more years.
Exactly.
And particularly with the quality of the stuff that you mentioned. I mean, Guitar Hero 2 alone is going to kill
it. I mean, like, really, if you go and look at the list, because in those report cards I was talking about, we listed the exclusive, notable exclusives for every console, and there were like 15 to 20 PS2 exclusives, and there is literally one Xbox One exclusive.
What the hell?
It's a DDR game.
Oh,
that's the only Xbox exclusive.
That doesn't even count.
It's the only Xbox exclusive that exists.
The song list being different does not count as an exclusive.
Are we out of time?
We're getting, no, we ain't out of time. Dude. What
Skip's finger and stuff, and I just didn't know what it meant. Skip's
like, he's just practicing. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so real quick, one thing to, I guess, sort of sprint by on the race to conclusion is this stuff out of Venezuela. They are pissed about Mercenaries 2.
I think it's good PR for Mercenaries 2.
Why?
Because people are talking about Mercenaries 2. The way they talk about Grand Theft Auto.
Mercenaries 2, which doesn't even have a publisher right now, and it's getting a ton of attention.
Yeah, Mercenaries 2, World in Flames, the Venezuelan president, Hugo Chavez.
How can Mercenaries 2 not have a publisher?
Because they're shopping it around.
Yeah,
the Mercenaries was awesome.
I love Mercenaries.
I love that game.
It's great.
All we know is that it won't be through LucasArts.
Really? Why is that? They're not even bidding?
I don't know what the politics are, but there's some politics.
It's a shame for them because they laid the groundwork with the first one.
Yeah, see, like, that's how it is. It's like dead air on this. It's like, hey, it's in Venezuela.
It's not interesting, man.
Extremely good. And I think whoever ends up signing it is good. And I think any press that it gets right now is a good thing. But, I mean, it is tapping into something that a lot of games are tackling, and that's the whole private military thing. People want to see games in places other than, you know.
Right.
Saudi Arabia.
We don't want battles in the Middle East. We're sick of it.
This Venezuelan president, his argument is that he thinks this game is being made to drum up support for an invasion of Venezuela from American game players. Like, seriously, that is his deal.
Chin Pokemon!
Considering how well the invasion in Iraq's going at chopping gas prices, we're really going to knock out the cocaine market next, right?
I don't think there's a lot of cocaine in Venezuela.
Dude, there's a lot of everything in Venezuela. Have you been?
No.
My family's Venezuelan. Don't you read Gaff? I'm Hispanic.
All right. So have we come up with a question for the weekend?
No, not yet.
No, he's got more, though.
But maybe this will take us in that direction. Earlier this week, out of Europe, friends across the big pond, Sony, you're not allowed to sell pre-owned games next gen. And that upset Shane so much that he just kicked the table.
What a break the table.
Anyway, what it was... this alleged rumor that GamesRadar.com sort of reported on about how Sony was going to insert some sort of, like, essentially a protection system that made it so, like, once you put that Ratchet and Clank disc in, it was committed to your PS3 only.
We should put this in context, 'cause this is what's been happening on PC games for a long time. And I think even though, I mean, it has since been denied by Sony Europe PR. But
denied to the hills,
denied
John.
To the hill. But this is the way that it's probably going to go. And this whole one-time use thing, tying a product to a system and not letting you sell it on. And, I mean, the PC games have been doing it for ages. You can't install a game and then when you're done with it, go trade it in at EB. There is a discussion here to be had. Probably not now, but at some point, someone is going to come out and say that this is the way they want console games to go.
They've been fighting used games in Japan for years. Like,
but this speaks to a bigger problem. There's the usage thing. There's a fairness thing. There's also a pricing thing. If you're going to go to a one-use license or like unlimited use single license model, you cannot charge $60 for the product.
Hell no.
It's just completely ridiculous. Because if you're going to limit people being able to buy a game cheap or being able to pass the game along to a friend to try on their system, it's just going to destroy the market. Because
and this also moves into the big rumor for, you know, like the next gen PSP. But the rumor is it's only digital distribution. There will be no media for it. That's the rumor that's going around. And you know, if the end of retail is 5 years from now. Like, what does that mean? Right. That's a huge issue that we need to talk about.
The idea of not going to a store, and it's totally twofold to me. And it's, but the idea specifically with games, because I don't like download music really. I don't have a whole lot on my iTunes. I haven't bought a whole lot on iTunes. But the idea of getting content delivered to me digitally, as far as like complete gaming experiences with PDF files for instruction manuals, is really disarming because I love getting games. I love it. People who are passionate about music, and like my father who's passionate about
records.
This is
our paradigm though, because we're so used to like, oh, I get the manual and I open it up.
I love the smell of the manual. It's awesome.
You know, like I was kind of against it too, but like iTunes Store is pretty cool. Like if I want a song, I can go download it.
If your PSP 2 moves in the same direction that we hear the iPod is going to go into, where the iPod itself is going to be able to interface with the iTunes Music Store, imagine turning on your PSP and just being able to go through. I mean, they're doing it with the PS1 games. That's the first step towards whatever is inevitably coming.
If it is only digital distribution, you don't have to worry about used games. You don't have to worry about friends borrowing it. It's all in your system.
And then they don't have to charge you on the manufacturing, and it doesn't matter that it's just to your system, because then they are only going to be charging you $10, $20 for a game. It's not going to be a $60 package, yeah, which you're then stuck with.
My question is,
I think that you're misguided in saying it's not going to be an expensive package. I disagree.
You think they're going to charge you $50 to download something? No way.
What's up, Steam?
Oh, my question is, we'll reach
into that story.
How much is a Steam
version? Game over. The fucking Half-Life Uber shit edition of Half-Life 2 costs just as much as buying like a box copy, essentially. It might be a $10 difference.
They sent you a metal box.
Great.
They sent you the crap in the mail.
Yeah.
But the question is, will retailers let this happen? Will retailers let games not be sold in stores anymore?
You know what? I really don't give a damn about the retailers, but here's the point that I kind of agree with Luke about, is that I don't really want the house of the future in 50 years from now to be like all glass panels and no bookshelves and no game collection and no CDs and none of that stuff on the wall, because you know what? I like having that stuff.
When I moved here from Detroit and was staying with Sam Kennedy, he has this great shelving when walk into his apartment. He's like, when you get to my apartment, you're going to know. And Sam's the EIC from 1UP. When you get to my apartment, you're going to know why we got it. Why this was the place that his wife and him chose, was because of the shelving. It didn't really dawn on me until we walked in, and he has these great shelves. And these shelves, like the first set of shelves, is full of consoles and hardware and controllers. And
it's got that Saturn sitting there.
It's a geek dream. And you look at the other thing is like pristinely organized wall of games, Saturn games and NES games, and that's gaming though. It's not the virtual fucking console. It is.
If you had your new PSP, PSP2, and in that you could instantly for like $5 buy any of those old games on that system and play it, isn't that better than what Sam has?
So there you go. He's got the Woody Allen house of the future where it's all glass walls and there's nothing.
Have you seen the new Apple store in New York City? That's your house in the future. That's a giant glass house. Bring your own stones.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I don't really want that. You know what? I don't really want that sterile environment. I want stuff that I can put my hands on.
I want to get my top-loading Nintendo out because that's the one that works the best. And I want to put in my copy of Bionic Commando that I got when I was, 10 years old from my dad for my birthday. And I want to put that in and I want to play that. I don't want to download that shit or play it on Capcom Classics on my PSP.
You oldsters,
I don't.
Mired in the 20th century.
Shane, at the same time, I do want what you're talking about. I want to be able to do that.
You want both. You want both ways.
For the old stuff, fine, you're going to do that. But for the future, it's going to happen. Manufacturing these damn things, the flip side of the Blu-ray argument is that it's really fucking expensive to put something on Blu-ray. And if you want to sell as many copies of the next GTA when the PS3 is hitting its stride, it's going to cost a fortune to manufacture 20 million copies of GTA. And if there's a way to spit that at you in chunks digitally so you don't have to have the whole thing at once, you just subscribe to GTA and you get episodes at a time. It's the future.
You better
whether
pray
you like
that
it
middle
or not,
American
it's going to happen.
Gets high-speed internet then because it's not there.
Okay, so future or not, what does that say about the permanence then of the games? Because isn't the media part of what makes these things permanent? Because you can go back and pick up your Sonic game and you pick up your Genesis cartridge. If you don't have those things, aren't these games, after they're like beamed out over the internet, eventually just going to be forgotten?
They're temporary experiences that you'll have to rebuy every time you buy a new platform. And if you think that that's good for the game industry,
you are
delusional as fuck. And I don't want you to be a gamer.
I mean, hardcore people.
I don't want you dictating the way that this market is going to go. I don't want it to be that way at all.
Hardcore people keep their shit, but average consumers trade in everything, and they're willing to rebuy that stuff.
Average consumers trade in their shit, but they keep the ones they love.
On your generation, think of generations behind you that don't have the opportunity to go and buy this stuff. My kids are growing up. They're gonna go, Dad, what did you play when you got? Oh, this is. Oh, you should try. I don't know. I can remember reviewing Sonic when I was first starting out, and you should check it out. And I don't have a Genesis around we'll just go and we'll go to Xbox Live and I'll download it and I'll show it to you.
I concede on that point because that's the good part of the virtual console.
But when you're getting all upset about it, you're just thinking about you.
You know what? And I'm 25 and that's the only person I care about.
Right. But if gaming is going to get bigger and it's going to expand and it's going to be everybody, you have to be able to let them into everything.
Luke, listen to this. If Microsoft tomorrow announced that Halo 3 is going to be a digital download, you'd sign me right the fuck up. Shut your mouth.
Hold on. Would you?
Yeah.
It takes one thing to sell.
Maybe we should ask the kids what they
Half-Life
think about digital
sold
distribution.
Steam.
There you go.
Digital distribution. What do you think?
Say it again.
Half-Life 2 is what got people into digital distribution, and to accept it. People had dabbled with it. They'd fucked around with it. Between iTunes and Half-Life 2, people are more accepting of, well, the, of
this
idea.
Is not an inevitability that I'm comfortable with yet,
but it okay, is so that's an inevitability.
Well, and that's what I said.
For PSP, we all can agree UMD is not a good format, so I'm all for getting rid of that shit.
As soon as that thing goes hard drive based and download, then it'll go nuts.
Okay, yeah. So this year and 5 years from now, do you want a hard copy? Do you want instructions? Do you want...
What's up, question of the week?
Exactly. Question of the week.
Well, you almost would expect us to have maybe planned that.
Well played, gentlemen. Well played.
Wait a minute. We didn't plan that?
No.
Oh, shit.
No one's noticed.
Right. Anyway, so let us know on the boards, boards.1up.com. And until next week, we're a ghost.
This has been 1UP Yours, a production of the Ziff Davis Game Group and part of the 1UP Radio Network. 1UP Yours is hosted by Garnet Lee and John Davison, produced by Andrew Fisser and Mike Ng, and is published every Friday afternoon at podcasts.1UP.com and at the iTunes Music Store.
What's up? I'm not in the fucking credits.